Okay, so we're on Dr. Poe. I'm in Dalek tonight, 34A. I'm sorry for being late. I just had forgotten my phone, but we'll make it hopefully through. So, in the middle of a Bryce, on the top line, so the Bryce was discussing about the Klal on Har Grizim and Har Eval, and now we're discussing about how they cross across the Yarden and across the Jordan River. So, the top line on Lamed Dalet Amud Aleph, the Kimish Pin Pelurag Lake Konim, but Mayim, once the feet of the Konim hit the water. And there was the Konim or leading Klal Yisrael. It's irregular. I learned yesterday, Konim don't normally carry the Aron here. They're carrying the Aron. And normally when they were in the Midbar, the Aron would be in the middle. Here the Aron is front and center. Once the Konim get into the water, Chazru Mayim, the water reversed. So it means that the flow of the water stops. So it means the Jordan River flows south. The current is heading south. They're crossing near Gilgal. So that which is heading south stops, I mean, goes, drains away. The water which is coming down stops and now forms like a big mound of water. Namar, Uchabono Seharon, Ada Yardin Vagomer, Bayamduamayim, Hayordimilamala, Kamunirachad. It arose like in one pile, he says, that's the quote, Bekama Govhan Shamayim, how high this water ascend, the Gemara says. They occupied, as everybody agrees, they occupied space 12 mil by 12 mil. They're encamped like this. It's like, imagine like a book. So he's figuring that as they're crossing the Yarden, the water is stopping and the water is gathering up. And the water is gathering up to the same dimensions that Machaneh Yisrael occupied. So that's based on the assumption that as they're crossing, the water is piling up in a similar way, like the same amount that is equivalent to Machaneh Yisrael. So like water flows in like equal to the square area occupied. So you can ask questions. We'll talk more about this shortly. So Amar lo Reb Lazar Reb Shimon, Reb Lazar Reb Shimon, this is the son of Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. I know they're talking about Lag BaOmer, so this is like in Yana Diomel Reb Shimon Bar Yochai. Amar lo Reb Lazar Reb Shimon L'dvarecha, he said, according to your reasoning, Reb Yehuda, Adam Kal Omayim Kalim, which goes with greater speed, a person or water? This is having Omer Mayim Kalim. Water flows quicker than people. He says, Im Kain, by Mayim Meshokfin Okan. So he says, if that's the case, in other words, if the water is only gathering, the water gathers up quickly, and it gathers up to a height of 12 mil, and then not, so then it's going to flood all Klal Yisrael, because the water is gathering at a quicker speed than the people are crossing. That's what he's figuring. So, is that that's well, that's what he's asking against Rabbi Yehuda. Now, the Tana Rabbi Yehuda could say that A, and this is Rabbi Leibowitz was saying this later on the Gemara, that the people walked at a quicker clip through the Yarden, or that the water is piling up at a slower rate. In other words, like the water flows at one rate, but it's piling up at a slower rate. And it could work out. But he says, so that last point was in the arts world. So he says, in Cain, by my Mishokinotan, Ella, Lamei Shayu Mayim, Nigdashimba Olin Kipin Al Gabi Kipin. He says, rather, he says that the water went higher and higher. Kipin means arches on top of arches, yet to Mishosh Mayim Mil, like a tremendous height, 300 mil. So all the kings in the east and west could see it. All the kings of the Emori that were on the other side of the Yarden, Yama, westward, somebody is not muted and we have to help you out. One second, let me get this out here. One second. Okay, listen. Okay, so I muted everybody. Please remain muted, okay? He says, Eder Sher Hobisha Shemet Mea Yardim, Neben Israel, Adabram, Vayimas Lababam. In other words, like when they saw this, like their hearts like sank, in other words, like melted. He says, Lo Yabam Od Ruach, Neben Israel, like the Koach was taken out of them. Now, and let me pause in a few lines. V'afra Kava Zona Amra L'Shulcha Yehoshua. This is an earlier event in Sefer Yehoshua before the waters of the Yarden split. Remember, Yehoshua sends two spies, that's Kalev and Pinchas, and then Rachav, Zona, and Chazal teaches means a puntakita, an innkeeper, said to them, he said, we heard how Klal Yisrael, the incident with Prius Yamasov. So presumably, here the same thing took place when they saw about the Yarden. And so when we heard this, like, our hearts melted and we had no focus to fight you anymore. Oh, let me pause for a second. Who's got questions, comments, thoughts on anything that I said so far? So you can repeat? Yes, good question. So the only thing, right, so it doesn't seem like it belongs. The only thing you can say is that it teaches me that just like in the time of Kriyas Yamsuf that they saw and, you know, what's taking place. Someone to say with Kriyas Yamsuf, also the war went up high, but the war, or that, you know, all the water of the world split, right? It's just like they knew about it. So too, the same thing here with the Yarden. That's the way we can say it. Any other questions? Everybody good in Zoom world? Everybody happy? No, I don't think anybody says it about the Yarden. Okay, I'm going to move forward. Everybody good? Okay. Let me see how everybody's doing here. What? Let me see. I don't see Daniel here. Where's Alus Lawson? Hold this time. One second.
All right. Is he on iPhone 4?
Oh, yeah. He's here. He's not visual, but he's audio. Okay, we wanted to bring you there, Daniel. Okay, let's go further. Now, we're midway down the column on Lamdan Laman Aleph. Now, it says, we're in the asterisk. Odam B'Yardain, when there was some Yardain, Amar Lehem Yoshua addressed Klal Yisrael. So if you look at the Pesukim and say for Yoshua, it says Yoshua spoke to them that what Moshe had commanded them. But it doesn't say what Moshe had commanded them, but the Gemara is filling in for us. So Odam B'Yardain, again, when they're in the Yardain, the Konim enter the Yardain, and the Konim stay put. And then everybody keeps going on. So Odam B'Yardain, Amar Lam Yoshua du Amar Tem over the Yarden. You should know why you're crossing the Yarden and why Hashem is performing this big miracle for you. Amenach Torishu Yoshua Yarz Nechem, with the understanding that you're going to conquer the people who are on the west bank. Shene Amar Borosh Temekul Yoshua Yarz Nechem Megomer. You'll conquer all the people in Eretz Yisrael. Imatem Osin Ke Mutav. If you do that, Shoin, everything's good. Bim Lav Bain Mayim Meshotim Otichem. Otherwise, the water is going to come and drown Otichem. My Otichem, Oti B'Yadchem. It's me and you. In other words, like, as we're in the Yarden now, the understanding is that we're going to conquer everybody in Eretz Israel. So, Odam B'Yarden, Amar Lam Yoshua, Herimu Lechem Ish Evan Achal Shechmo, L'Mispar Shepte Yisrael B'Gomer. Now, if you're in Sefer Yoshua, it says that when in the Yarden, Yoshua gathers 12 people to him, and he says, go in and pick up 12 stones near where the Kohanim are standing to set up a monument. You know, like there'll be like, you'll put this up on the east bank of the Yarden as a memorial of the miracle that took place. And then take additional stones. And with those additional stones, you're going to take those stones and form a Mizbeach at Har Gerizim Har Eival. And then afterwards, take the Mizbeach apart and you'll write the whole Torah on the stones. And we'll put those stones on the other side of Gilgal. So this is talking about the first stones. He says, so In other words, your sons will ask you, what's going on with these stones? And then, now that's the quote. Now the Gemara explains, so this will be a sign for later progeny that your forebears crossed the Yarden. And then when they were still in the Yarden, Yoshua also said to them, take 12 stones near where the Kohanim are standing. This is the second group. You'll put them in the lodging place that you stay tonight. So the game plan is they're going to take these additional 12 stones. They're going to go to Har Gerizim and Har Eival. They're going to build a mizbeach with these stones. Take the mizbeach apart, bring the stones back to Gilgal. It's a lot to do in one day. And they're going to write the whole Torah on these stones and then put the stones near Gilgal. There's additional stones. All the same day, yeah. So he says, Yechol b'chol malon malon. So I might have thought in every lodging place where they go, they're going to leave stones or whatever, move them. Where you lodge tonight. So that'll be Gilgal. So remember, we learned yesterday there was Malchut Tanaim where Har Gerizim and Har Eival was. So according to yesterday we learned that according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's near Har Gerizim and Har Eival, but according to Rabbi Lazar, it's near the Yarden. So the distance would work a little easier with Rabbi Lazar. So Amar, now we have Amar Rabbi Yehuda, but on the side it should be Rabbi Yossi. Amar Rabbi Yossi, Abba Chalafta, Reb Lezer ben Makia, Lechanani ben Chachinoi, Amdu Elo Tanabanim, Bishirum. He says that these three Tanayim, now Abba Chalafta, where's Rashi on this? He says, he doesn't have it here in the Rashi. I thought it was here. One second. All right. But anyway, Rabbi Yossi's father is Rabbi Chalafta. I think that's why Abba Chalafta. I put somewhere, maybe the art scroll. Anyway, so he says, I'm Rabbi Yossi, Abba Chalafta, Rabbi Lezer, Ben Makib, Ben Chachinoi, Amdulo Tanabanim. They evaluated what the weight was of those stones. But each one weighed 40 saw. So it's a little unclear. 40 saw is a measure of volume. Remember, that's this, the shear for a mikveh, which is 3 amot by 1 amma by 1 amma. So Rabbi Alibus was saying today it's like 190 gallons. So it's not clear whether it means the stones occupied that amount of volume, but they're big stones, or their weight equivalent to 40 saw of water, and it was equivalent weight. But anyway, they're very heavy stones. He says, "Gemirin, our mistora is the tenuna demandly inish lekafe tilta the tune have." So he says, our mistora is that which a person can lift on his own to carry is a third of what he could carry if somebody would help him put the weight on him. In other words, so if I'm lifting dead weight, it's like only a third of what I could carry if like people would come and say, "Here's the load. Carry the load." Maybe it's like Olympics with the weights, you know, like people, they help them with the weights and then they hold it. So he says here, so each one is carrying this big stone, so they're carrying a fraction of what they, so if they would be helped, they could carry, you know, three times that weight. So they're carrying 40 saw of weight, but if somebody would help them load it out, they can carry 120 saw of weight. So he says, So here now the Gemara segues to the Meraglim with the spies. Now, again, we were talking about Yeshua. So these spies are taking place like 39 years earlier. So, but the Gemara is extrapolating that the weight of the fruit that the spies brought in, how heavy it must have been. He says, Shenemar, by Yisa'u v'mot b'shnayim, that they carried it by mot in a pole with two. So I would think the pshat is two people carrying a pole, is what I would think. Mimash v'shnei b'rabot, any of the Yishim v'shnayim. If I say a pole, now here, the way Rashi takes it, it's by Yisa'uhu, the plural, they carried it. That's the way Rashi seems to learn the pshat. But I would have thought like a pole, you need two people for a pole. But either way, I know it's two people. So ma'atamalo v'shnayim. So why does the Torah say v'shnayim? V'shnei motot. So in other words, not that they're carrying one pole, they're carrying two poles. In other words, the spies are carrying two poles. And then, I'm Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak says, Tortani, a load, and then a load on a load, which I'll explain in a minute. Haketzad, Shmona Nasu, Eshkol. That eight spies carried one cluster of grapes. So the point that the Gemara is headed, and we'll explain about the load on the load, is that the cluster of grapes was humongous by weight, because each person we saw in the yard, they were maybe strong people, whatever. I'm saying the Gemara takes it that a person with help could carry a load of 120 saw. So here you got eight people doing it. So this is a humongous cluster of grapes. He says, Echana Sarimon, one spy carried a pomegranate, but Echana Satina, one carried a fig. So it's obviously a much bigger fig than what we got going. And he says, Yoshubakali Lona Suklo. So Shukhan didn't carry anything. Now, if the Rashi explains that the only thing we accept from the Pesukim is that there were two poles we got. So if you look at the Rashi, it's like this thick Rashi on the side here. So four lines above where it gets wide, he says, Rabbi Yitzchak lav mikrash milei. Rabbi Yitzchak was not able to do this, from the Pasuk. Now the Pshitalei, it was clear to him, the Rimon Utein Asagi B'shtayim, that, you know, a rimon atena one, Yeshuva Kalid Lono Suklom, Shukal didn't carry anything, Tashu Tamani Leshko, that leaves eight spies carrying the cluster of grapes. Bimlav Medrash Rishonim Abdena Lav Moda Chanka Amar, Kra, Lomi Yodim Lachavin Shmona Bene Adam Lamasao. It was, if it weren't for the first Pasuk that taught me that there were like two poles, so I wouldn't be able to clarify the whole thing. So we see already from the pasuk that there were two poles. So he wants to say that really what was taking place. Now there's a machlokas we've shown him how to understand how the poles are organized. You have some pictures in the Arsul Gemara, but there's three shitot with this. The easiest shita, the easiest one, is like a tic-tac-toe board. That's the easiest one. Someone understand that what Rashi means, I have two people. In other words, so you've seen like the caramel grapes, like the wine, you know, this caramel wine. They got a picture of the spies with the grapes. So, but it's saying, like you have a tic-tac-toe board, and you know, with, you know, eight poles, or how many poles? One, two, three, four poles, but cross into a tic-tac-toe board, but eight people carrying the four poles, one at each end, and then the big cluster of grapes on top of it. So he's saying, Rabbi Yitzchak is saying we can extrapolate that that's the way the grapes were carried, because we see already there's more than one pole, and his calculation is that they got 10 spies, and all the 10 are carrying something, so that's the way the cheshbon is working. Now, some want to say that didn't look like a tic-tac-toe board, that the middle one was like, it's like a cross in the middle. In other words, like the two poles cross in the middle. Or there's a different cheshbon. You can look at the picture in the art scroll where Rabbeinu Chananel has a different cheshbon, but that's the way that's going. Right, that's the main thing, right, right. Yosef, summarize this succinctly. We got eight people carrying the grape. What? It doesn't say donkeys. It says that they carry. So now, let's just take a look at a few lines of the Gemara, then I'll pause. So he says here, Yeshua and Kalev didn't carry anything. Two lines at the bottom. I could say they were so important. But the only thing which is still difficult is that the Gemara is going to say, the Rabbi Leibowitz mentioned this, that Yeshua, they demeaned Yeshua, but the spies knew that Yeshua, that Moshe Rabbeinu was Machshiv Yeshua, and maybe they're going to like Machane Israel, so they're reporting him some Kavod. Or I could say, because Yeshua and Kalev were not in the band council of spies, they didn't carry it. Look at Rashi, the second wide line. In other words, they're bringing unusual cluster of grapes. In other words, they're not bringing like what would typically, they're saying, I mean, they're bringing something to show off the produce of land, but to say, look how unusual the produce of land is. He says, they intended, like, to, you know, further their evil intentions. Just like, have you ever seen grapes like this? It's unusual. Just like these grapes are so unusual. So too, the inhabitants of land are unusual. Just like the grapes are humongous. That's the way the people are there. We're never going to conquer them. That's the idea. Okay, let me pause for a second. Any questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far? What's up, Rafi? No, it came from the underneath the river, in the river. But they're putting some on the east bank near where the Kohanim stood, and some on the west bank near Gilgal. I don't know what to tell you.
It's not so wide, it's not so deep.
Yeah, we don't know exactly what it was at the time of Yeshua, though. In other words, today... in other words, for the Jordan River, he's saying. So Meir is saying it's not so wide and not so deep, you know. I don't know if how they call it anyway, but like, you know, a spiritual, like the black people would sing, the Jordan River is deep and wide. But Meir says it's not deep and wide. Okay, but it's deeper and wider at different points on its circuit. Okay. Anyway, any other questions, comments?
Box that we talked about, the first box or the second box?
So it sounded like that was the second group of rocks. The second group of rocks, it sounded like. Though I'm not sure it has to be different, but it sounds like the second. Yeah, that's what it sounds like. Okay.
How much the grapes laid? They were...
Well, the Gemara...
40
The Gemara calculated that a man could carry a weight, if he's loaded up, 120 sa'ah. So now we got eight people. So it's like hundreds and hundreds of pounds is the way it would be. But that would be, I'm wondering whether it has to be their maximum weight. In other words, they could carry that amount. But anyway, but so, it means so a very big cluster.
So it's eight times three times one sa'ah.
No. 40 sa'ah. No, it would be eight times 120 sa'ah. Eight times 120 sa'ah. Like a thousand, like the weight of a thousand saw. It's a 1,000 saw. What? 960. Okay, like 960. All right. So the I don't know. He said I think Rabbi Leibowitz. I think it's hundreds of pounds for the 120 saw. Hundreds of pounds. Okay, I'm gonna move on. I don't have time. Okay, I'm gonna tell us later. Now let's get further. Okay, time now. Okay. The bottom line on Lamed Dalet and Lamed Aleph. Everybody with me? So Pliyibar Rabbi Rabbi Yitzchak Nachos. These are two Amoraim. We're going back to the Machloket about the Jordan River and the water piling up. So the idea is that the rivers come, the water stops, and now it goes up. So according to one opinion, it goes up 12 mil, like the size of Machane Israel. According to the other one, it's going hundreds of mil. So the one says here, well, how many? No. The first opinion said it was 12 mil by 12 mil. The second opinion said it went up several hundred. What did it say? It said, he says, Shlosh Meot Mil, 300 mil, line 8, the Gemara, 300 mil. So let's see back in the Gemara. So please, by Rabbi Rabbi Matlok, but these two Marim, Rabbi Rabbi, how to understand the Matlok at tonight. Tanamar, the Dibber Rabbi Yehuda, one said, according to Tanamar Rabbi Yehuda, turn page, top line on the bays, Kachaniatan Avru. So he says that when the Jews, the question is, when the Jews are crossing the Jordan River, what's their configuration? So one thought, within the Tana Reb Yehuda, that they're crossing the way they were encamped. In other words, like there are three Degalim in front, three to the east, three to the west, three in the south. That's the way they're crossing the Yarden. He says, the Dibur of Lazar of Shimon is the Akbar Zab. But according to Lazar of Shimon, they're going like closer to a single file. He says, so what it means like this, that according to Lazar of Shimon, the transit over the Jordan River takes longer than according to Rabbi Yehuda. Because if I have, you know, everybody's like in an encampment, and so it's less time, so I have less water piling up. Which Rabbi Elazar ben Shimon, more time, more water piling up. That's what one thought. He says, on line two, B'chadamar, and one said, Bein Mar, Ubein Mar, Kachaniya Tanavu. One said, no, everybody agrees that they went over in the way that they were in camp. Mar Sabar Adam Kal, one holds, that man is like acts with velocity, with speed. So when it says speed, so it doesn't have to be, you know, again, water can flow at different speeds, but man, he takes it, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that a person could cross over at a clip. At a clip, to prevent the water from piling up too high, one holds that the water is much more speedier. Now, well, again, it depends on how it depends. Again, like the Jordan River, the current isn't flowing so quickly. Everything like water can, you know, gurgle along and can speed along. So that's part of it. And then the other part is like how, even though the water might be flowing at a certain rate, how fast does it pile up going up, which could be a slower rate. And then in addition to which, the issue is how fast are they crossing the yard. Now, in addition to which, the Gemara didn't take this into account. It's how wide is the Jordan River that should also be part of the calculation. In other words, if the Jordan River is a half mile wide, so then that's longer. If it's a foot wide, it's much less time. So that's one another issue that the Gemara didn't take into account. What's up? Say again, repeat. Yeah, right, that's correct. Less, but it's still quite a crowd. Okay, let's see back in the Gemara. Now, now we're back to the Meraglim, line 4. So, Shlach Lachan Hashem, so Amarei Shlach, Shlach Kami Danko. So, Shlach, yeah, this is Rashi brings down a Chumash that, in other words, it's up to you, Moshe Rabbeinu. I'm not commanding you to send Meraglim. You want to send commanding, send it back to hey. V'chi Adam Zeh Borer Chelek Rala Atzmo. In other words, does it make sense that, in other words, if Hashem commands you to do it, does it make sense that it would come out to be such a bad situation? So the fact that it came out bad, that just like corroborates the idea that it was Moshe's choice. But the words are standing at the word lecha, lecha. He says, v'hainu d'chtiv v'itav b'inai ha-davar. That's what it says in Parshat Devarim. Moshe Rabbeinu is like, you know, going over, repeating everything that took place the 40 years in the Midbar. One of the things, incidents is the Meraglim. And he says, "Vayitabe na'idavar." You came to me and asked me to send Raglim, and I thought it was a good idea. So Amrish Lakish Be'inai V'lo Be'inav Shemakom. So Rish Lakish says, in the words of Moshe Rabbeinu, it's like it's good, but not HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the question is, well, why did Moshe Rabbeinu say? So there's two ideas. One is Ramban says that Moshe Rabbeinu was on board to gain military intelligence. That's a good idea. We need military intelligence when we go on the Abraham Yardain. So I think that's a good idea. And it was not going to have Nisim like we have now in the Midbar in Israel. So we need the military intelligence. But then they took it further and went directions that he didn't anticipate. Or the other pshat is, which the RSU brought down, is that it's like they said, can we send spies? So Moshe Rabbeinu thought, somebody could send it, and they'll say, you know what, we don't need it. You know, that type of thing. But it didn't work out that way. No.
Isn't there another pshat that Shlach Lecha and Anashim, that it's good for the Shlach Lecha, it's good for you because you're going to live longer by having this, the Meraglim,
I haven't seen that pshat, but it's interesting. It says saying Shlach Lecha is working for your benefit. You're going to live longer. Okay, let's take a look further in the Gemara. Okay, Yachru Lanu et Aretz. Yachperu means spy out the land, but it's an unusual phrase, Yachperu. So he says, that it alludes to the fact that the Meraglim's intention was to the disgrace or the embarrassment. In other words, they wanted to denigrate Eretz Yisrael. It says that they will spy out the land, but be Yachperu. It says, that the moon, the Chafra, will be like taken aback, will be abashed, you know, embarrassed. The moon will be embarrassed, and the sun will be embarrassed. So there, Chafra is used in the sense of, you know, something bad. So that's in Yeshaya. Okay, now, Be'elish Shmotam, then it mentions the names of the spies, L'matei Ruvain Shamua Ben Zakur. So Shevet Ruvain Shamua Ben Zakur. Am Rabbi Yitzchak, Devar Zem Esor Priya Deinu Miyavoteinu. This is, we have a tradition from our forefathers, Meraglim Hashem Ha'asem Nikru, that the names of the Meraglim allude to their bad intentions and their bad actions. And there's an idea in Halakha that, and they have this narsville that Hashem puts it in people's minds, like even though people pick names for their kids, Hashem puts in their minds to pick a name that will reflect who and what they, you know, will be in life. Doesn't mean that you don't have the Chirur Chafshis, because the name could allude to positive, allude to negative, could be the same thing, but the name will be probative of what they do. So he says, Ba'anu lo'altabi adin walachad. We only know one, but here's the one we know. Situr ben Michael. I think it's the Matei Asher Situr ben Michael. So he says, Situr shesatar ma'asav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Satar to mean that he contradicted the masim from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Meaning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have like Eretz Zabat Chalav Dvash, Hashem was saying into a wonderful land, you know, flowing with milk and honey. But they said, it's Eretz Okelet Yoshvehi. It's the land that consumes its inhabitants. You know, and everybody's dying left and right when we went there. So they're like contradicting what HaKadosh Baruch Hu really did. Michael Shasa'atz Momach. Michael means, like Michael really could mean who is like Hashem, but he wants to say that Mach means to be weak. In other words, they said that God is weak. In other words, they said, that Afilu Balabayin in Yecholot Zikil Misham. That even the Balabas, the Kadosh Baruch Hu, you know, Chas V'Shalom couldn't get his Kalim out of that place. In other words, it's such a rough place. The people are so strong. Like even a Kadosh Baruch Hu couldn't, you know, get his. What? It means it's Rashi says this in his Perush no Chumash. It says in Parshat Shlach. He says Eretz Ochel Yoshvehi. It's that Eretz Ochel Yoshvehi. So he says, Afilu Balabayit, even the Balabas couldn't take his kelim out of that place. In other words, he wants to go and conquer it. It's like even a Kadosh Baruch Hu. He says, no, I said the wrong pasuk. He says, Kiatsum hu mimen, lo nuchal, kiatsum hu mimen, different pasuk. He says, we can, kiatsum hu mimenu. So one way is it's stronger than us. The other way is mimenu, it's stronger than a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's what they said. Kiatsum on that pasuk. Kiatsum hu mimenu is stronger than Rashi says. Right, that's what they were saying. So that means Michael, it's saying like Michael, he says, Shasasmo Mach, Atzmo means like, it's not, they don't want to say a Kadosh Baruch Hu made himself weak, but it means saying like Kadosh Baruch Hu's weak. It was Michael, that Hashem is weak, that Kashalom, that he can't handle it.
So why didn't Moshe pick people with better names?
Wait 3 minutes when I pause like that. So I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan says we can also give a different shot another name. Nachmi ben Vofsi is another one of the Baraglim. Nachmi Shechbich the Barav Shlok Kach Baruch Hu. He hid the words of a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Again, you could say it's a different shot than saying this, but the same thing with the Eretz of Anpal B'Dvash, and they're trying to say it's a horrible land. He says Vofsi Shepisal Mi Rotav Shlok Kach Baruch Hu. That he tried to hide, he didn't say things the way they are. That, in other words, again, that we can't conquer the land. Let me just do a little bit more, and then I'll try to pause and get before. Okay, so he says, by Aluba Negev, by Avot Chabron. So I'm sure you know these are famous, memories Saul from Rashi. By Alu is Lashon Rabim, they went up to the Negev and Raglim. By Avot Chabron, he individually went to Chabron. By Avot Mi by the way, so just by Avot they went. So Amarava. This pasuk teaches us that Kalev separated himself from the council of the Meraglim, and he went and he prostrated himself by the Kever Avot in his Marat HaMakpelah. Amar Lahen, he said to them, Avotai, my forebears, he says, Bakshu alai Rachamim, I want you to seek Rachamim for me, Shenasel Meatzat Meraglim. That I should be saved from the Eitzah of the Meraglim. Yoshua Kfar B'tish Moshe Allah Barachim. Yoshua, Moshe Rabbeinu had prayed for, Shemar Vayikra Moshe Loshim Benun Yehoshua, Ka Yoshiacha Meyatzat Meraglim. So, the question is, why did Moshe only pray for Yoshua, and why not for Kalev? There's more to explain. I go over this in my Parsha class, which we're all invited to go on Shabbos morning. One explanation is that with Yoshua, in other words, like some things are definitely clearly an Avera. So Moshe Rabbeinu thought, like, it's so white and black, the Meraglim are not going to, if they'll have this idea, they'll see Devar Pashut, it's an Avera, come back with this bad report. One second. But Yoshua, when Eldad and Medad said, Adonai Moshe Klaim, he said, you have to, lock these people up. They said, Moshe made Yoshua Machnis. So Yoshua said, we got to lock these people up. So Yoshua, Moshe Rabbeinu was afraid to think it's a big mitzvah that people not go into Eretz Israel. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu will still remain the leader. So he might be misled. So I'm praying for him. Okay, I have to, please excuse me, I have to move on. I'll try to get to as many people as I can. He says, the thief, it says, it says, my servant Kalev, he had a ruach acharet. So if you look in Rashi, behind the thief, Abdi Kalev Gomer. So the pasuk continues on. This is a pasuk in Tzlach. It says, "I'll bring him to land that he came to." V'hi Chevron. Rashi says it's referring to Chevron. It says that Yoshua gave Chevron to Kalev. Chevron. So we put the pasukim together. We see that Kalev is the one that went to Chevron. Okay. Now this issue gets into a big issue. And here it sounds like Kalev is praying to the dead forebears, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So there's a whole issue in halakha whether you're allowed to even do anything like that. So, So one way to say it is, I'm making this short, if we have more time, I'll try to do more at the end. One way to say it is that you're allowed to pray to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and the zechus li'avos, the merit of the forebears, will be in your behalf. So the one way would be, so the Gemara doesn't mean literally that he said Avotai, that he was praying to them. Like there's a lot in the Torah, you're not supposed to pray to dead people. So it could be the way that you could definitely pray is you pray to a Kadosh Baruch Hu and you invoke Zechus Avos, which is what we do every day. Okay, Abraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov. That certainly you could do, that's fine. That would be one way to go with it. The other way is to say that he was praying to the forebears that they should be like an intercessor with him for a Kadosh Baruch Hu for him, which is one derech that people say. But if I have more time, I'll talk about this a little bit more. Okay, I have to run. Let me finish the daf, and then I have more time, I'll talk about this a little bit more. Okay, let's see further in the Gemara. Now, when he gets to Hebron, there's these three giants there. Achiman Sheshai B'Talmai B'Gomer. Achiman Miuman Shebarachav. So Achiman is related to the word Yamin. He was like the strongest of his brothers. He says, Sheshai should be similar to Shkato, where he would walk like there would be holes in the ground because he's like this big fellow. Rashi takes it that it's Lashon Amude Shesh, like pillars of marble. He says, Sheshai, you know, that make like a hole in the ground. Talmai should be similar to Flamin Flamin. He makes the ground like those furrows. He says, now we have the Barakher. Some say the Barakher doesn't more belong here. Achiman bana anat. Achiman built the city banat. Sheshai bana alush. Talmai bana talbush. Okay, Yildeha anat. So Yildeha anat means children of the giant, but he says a different shot. Shemanikim chama bekomatan. They were so tall, they made like the sun a necklace. And it was like, it's like their heads are going to the sky and the sun is like a pendant around their necks. The Chevron shevashanim levinatah. So it says that Chevron was built 7 years before Soan Mitzrayim. So my Nivnata, what does it mean? So I would think it means built. My Nivnata, Yilema Nivnata Mamash, if I would think that means that it was built, he says, Esher Dambona Bait Ledo Katan Kodol Ledo Gadol. Does it make sense that a person would build a house, like a city or a town, for his youngest child before his oldest child, or an older child? So the sons of Cham were Cush, Mitzrayim was a child, Cush Mitzrayim, Ufutu Canaan, I think it is. And then Canaan was child number four. So Canaan is the youngest child. Mitzrayim is the second oldest child. Doesn't make sense that he would build a city for Canaan before he built it for Mitzrayim. Elish Tamabuna, Elacham Yeshiva, but so on. It means that it was more fertile. So Rashi says from Lashon Ulai Iban Emimena, like I'll, you know, have children from her through her, but a more fertile. It was 7 years when it says Shevashim and Talanei Tzon Mitzrayim, even though you would think it means 7 years built before Tzon Mitzrayim, doesn't mean that. It means seven times more fertile than Tzon Mitzrayim. It's the location in Egypt. And Hebron is not the most fertile area in Eretz Yisrael. In fact, it's one of the least fertile. It's like you don't have a rocky area in Eretz Yisrael like Hebron. The Kavri Bashifbe, or Mishum the Kavri Bashifbe, that's why people bury people there, because it's not suitable for farming. And with the other land of the world, Egypt is one of the most fertile land, or is the most fertile land. When Lot, you know, was looking at stone, he said it was so fertile there, it was like, Yiganashem ke Eretz Yisrael, like Mitzrayim. So it means like this. Mitzrayim is like the most fertile area. And so he's going to prove stone Mitzrayim is the most fertile area in Mitzrayim. And notwithstanding that, Hebron was seven times more fertile. He says, you don't see anything which is so fertile like so in Mitzrayim, the thief that you would sow in Sarab. It says at a certain point, the king of Israel sent messengers to Paro to get him to join with him to fight the king of Ashur. So he sends them, where's Pharaoh sitting? He's in so in Mitzrayim. This is the best place. So again, so Mitzrayim is the most fertile land. And in Mitzrayim, Soan is the most fertile area in Mitzrayim. And notwithstanding that, and Eretz Yisrael is more fertile and Chevron is like least fertile area, but it's seven times more fertile than Soan Mitzrayim. But if you have Chevron with Wunach, Chavi Shiva, but so on. So the Gemara says, V'chevron treshim habe. I mean, Chevron was so really rocky. After 40 years, remember Avshalom, remember we learned in the second Nazir was a Nazir Olam. And so he cuts off his hair periodically, whether it's once a week, once a month, or once a year, and he has to bring Korbanot. So he says to his father, you know, can you give me permission? I need to go to Hebron because I need to bring Korbanot. So Chazal teaches it wasn't that there was a Mizbeach in Hebron, the Mizbeach was in Givon at that time, but he's going to Hebron because that's where the fattest lambs are, the sheep. He wanted to bring like the best sheep, which come from Hebron. But Tani, we learned the Gemara Masechet and Benachot, Elimi Moav, the best rams come from Moav, to Basimi Hebron, So if it's really such a lousy, rocky area, when it's not good for pasture, so how is it that it's got the good sheep there? So the Gemara says, Mina, no, punk for that. From that, I can extrapolate that indeed it was a rocky area. I did Klishiara because land. It's not suitable for planting well, Avdereya. So indeed, grasses grow up, which the sheep can nash away on. the shamein kenyana, and then the sheep become very fat. Okay, now, I feel badly because I blocked everybody off. Let me give 2 minutes for a conversation that I have more to speak about, but or the people who've been chomping at the bit here for a bit. Fern was first, then you are on Gershon. Okay, first Fern.
I just wanted to know when we discussed the names of the Nesiim, why Moshe didn't pick people with better names.
Yeah, so the way that the Arsho said the names could be positive or negative, it depends on what the person does. But it means that the name that was a cheshbon with it. In other words, he's still the Bechira Chavshis. Now what do you got for me, Aaron?
I want to make two points that I think Fern is going to like both points. First, Shlach Lecha Anashim, if I recall, the Klei Yoker says...
Right. If you would have sent women, we would have better shape. I would have preferred women, but you sent men. Okay, next piece.
The second point I wanted to make is my Russian... Rav Yankov used to make this at Shaverbrook, as he used to say, Yehoshua, he gave all the koiches into Hoshea ben Nun. He changed his name to Yehoshua ben Nun. And to Kali ben Yefuni, he didn't do nothing. He had to run to Maris Machpelah that they should be an intermediary to the Rebbeinu Shloim. Why didn't he help Kali ben Yefuni? So Yankov said like this. He says, Yehoshua ben Nun, he was a bocha. He wasn't married yet. Later on, he married the Isha Zayna. He says, Kali ben Yefuni, who was he married to? He's married to my sister, to Miriam. He says, Mitazaf Roy Miriam's at Chenu Mashbofta, everything's going to be good.
Very nice. Very
You're
nice.
You're two for okay. two, Arthur.
All right, that's it. And if Malka were here, she'd like it as well. Okay, now.
I right, am here, but I have no idea what he said.
Okay.
It's all Yiddish.
Yeah, so I assume it, like, it was like each day, like we say, what do we say in the morning? We don't say, a person can pray that Hashem shouldn't be menasa him. It's harder. I don't know. You'll get it later on. Okay, one second. Okay, now. All right, now. The
Shlach Lecha Anashim, Nashim, they would have been better.
Okay, now.
I didn't get the other stuff. Please
stop this. Ladies, you know, the Chazal teaches that nine measures of speech came down to the world, and the ten came down. Women took nine of them. Okay, let's take a look. Now, the Ma'aril explains that the Ma'aril explains that the purpose of praying in a cemetery is to invoke the zechus and the merits of the tzaddikim buried there. The Ma'aril cautions, however, not to direct one's prayers at the dead and ask them for assistance. This would be a violation of Dori Shalom Eitim, as Reina Chaim Paltiel says. The Prima Gadim notes that many people recite the prayers printed in the Siddur Ma'ane Lashon, which are formulated for recital at the cemetery and are directed at the deceased, asking them to intercede and be a Melis Yosher, an advocate on our behalf. Thus, the prevalent custom seems to indicate that it is permitted to direct prayers of the dead. That's the question. Are you allowed to pray to people who are... I mean, you can't ask them to fulfill your request, but you're allowed to address things to them. The Bach cites various Kabbalistic, it sounds like, sources which support the widespread custom of praying in a cemetery. The Shalah cites our Gemara as proof that prayer is made directly to the dead. The Gemara says that Kalev addressed the Avot in the second person, Avotai Bakshu Lai Rachamim. He said, my forefathers, please request mercy on my behalf. The Minchas Alazar, that's from the Munkach Rebbe, explains that the Easter of Dorei Shalom Eitim only prohibits one from trying to attain Ruach HaTumah from the dead, as applied to the Gemara in Sanhedrin Samachay, but it's not forbid addressing a deceased person and asking him to be a Melis Yosher. Moreover, the Minchas Alazar suggests the Ma'aril only prohibits trying to seek his assistance directly from the dead, thereby implying, please, just 2 minutes, okay, thereby implying that the dead have their own power to help people. Whoever the Ma'aril would agree, the one may ask the dead to assist in bringing his prayers before Hashem, so Hashem Shalom. Anyway, there's two ways to do this. So the safest way is just to pray Hashem, and you're praying and you're hoping for Zechus Avos. That would be you could say in the merit of my forebears, do this through a request for me. That would be the simplest, most straightforward way to do it. But the second way would be to pray to the dead that they should be intermediaries of you to a Kaddish Baruch Hu, And there's a like a derech that people seem to say with that. Okay, let's fall in the day with this. Okay, nice having everybody. I apologize that we're being late tonight. Let me just get the let me get the thing with recording. 1 second. Okay, got it.